Welcome. And maybe just a little bit of admin. Please keep your kids out the ball pits while we're talking. Thank you to the moms who bring the snacks. It's always helpful for those of us who forgot to have breakfast before we arrive, so thank you. And then, yes, for any of the new moms, if you want headphones, you can just grab a set there. And then this week, we're continuing with our Proverbs. Last week, Amarinda shared, she spoke about your heart and head connection, and often what we fill our hearts with is what comes out of our mouths, and that we actually need to really be careful of what goes into and protect our minds. And also, she just really spoke a lot on filling our buckets, spending time with the Holy Spirit and the Lord, because we do leak, especially as moms. I hope some of you, as she spoke about, I hope some of you saw some doves. I don't know if anyone saw a dove this week. I'm still waiting to see mine. Melissa, well done. Doves are a bit more graceful, Kath. that for me really struck with me. I think that was such a beautiful image where she spoke about the dove as almost like creating that space for the Holy Spirit. Like I said, today we're carrying on with Proverbs 6. And I really have an incredible privilege of introducing Kathy. We're super privileged, Kath, to have you. And I think for you guys, we all know Stephen Dollenberg, but I would love to let you know Kathy Dollenberg a little bit. And Kath, I think in your own right, you are worth being appreciated and honored, and not just for who you married, but for who you are. Kathy's been, and Stephen, have been at 3CR for 24 years, and they've been married for 28. That's very impressive. I think for me, just sharing a bit of, I feel like Kathy's really someone that we can listen and hear from. And I think this morning I'm really, really wanting to encourage you to open your hearts and your ears to what she has to say. From my personal experience, I was newly married and I got the privilege of getting to look after 3 children. at Jem at that point, I think, was just turned 2. So she was still in nappies and bottles and night duty. And I got these 3 children for a whole week. And it was really incredible because, Kath, I felt being in your home was, we got to witness what you and Stephen talk. You actually believe. You guys spend time with the Lord. You had a home that was just amazing. And I mean, as like I say, a person without children, getting to do grade 2 homework was very overwhelming, and I think we delayed having children for a while, but it was beautiful, because watching Stephen and Kathy and their 3 kids and seeing how their 3 kids were being raised was just really, really incredible. And one of our first nights at their home, my husband had his side of the bed and I had mine, and needless to say, his side of the bed was Kathy's side of the bed. So in the middle of the night, I think it was Jara, was like, Mom. And Roy got such a fright that he like elbowed me. He's like, babe. And he like woke up with such a fright that I just remembered from that night on, I always slept on Kathy's side. It was just really, like I say, it's such a privilege growing up in community. And like I say, Kathy's had many challenges. And I often say, to my husband that, like, Kath, you've really walked the walk. Like, from your childhood through adulthood, with the journey you had with Jem just recently, you're not someone that just, like, reads the Bible and goes, guys, believe in Jesus. Like, he's actually tested you. And do you really believe this by walking it? And you've really had a couple of trials and really a lot. And we really appreciate you. And we value the fact that this morning we get to glean from you. And, so, guys, really, someone who's walked the walk, listen to what Kathy has to say this morning. Open your hearts. But Kath, can I pray for you? Lord Jesus, I just lift up Kathy to you this morning. Lord, I pray that your words come through her mouth. Lord, that every single one of us here has opened hearts to hear what she has to say. Lord, may your word grow roots in our hearts that we can take out to the week. I thank you, Lord, for Kathy. I thank you for the incredible example she is as a wife and as a mom and as a leader, Lord, that has just supported and loved so many people and just loves her kids And yeah, Lord, we thank you for Kathy. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful daughter she is of yours, and that we get to hear your words through her, and you know, just the challenges you've set her on, Lord, that we can glean from that. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Lord, for this morning, and we pray in your holy and precious name that you are with us. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for having me, guys. It's really a really big privilege for me. I think the biggest thing is having to come after Amarinda and Mel. Now I've got to like be very serious, you know? No. I'm also grateful that we already covered Proverbs 31, because that's quite a thing to cover. So I said to Mel, happy to do it, but I'm not doing Proverbs 31. And then she gave me Proverbs 6, which I don't know if you've actually read it, but it's very random. So I was like, God, show me something. But yeah, I do actually want to honor Mel. What an honor to be led by her. I think having done Mom's Group 21 years ago with my own kids, and to just glean from her still, even now. It's a privilege to be led by her, and even a bigger privilege to be honored, to be followed and follow her. Anyway, Proverbs 6. Lots going on in that chapter. Read it, I'll encourage you. But the verse that stood out for me and what I want to unpack with you today is Proverbs 6:6, where God says, go to the ant, consider its ways and be wise. So random, but what can we learn from an ant? It's deeply humbling that God will point us to something so small as an ant and to learn wisdom from an ant. In the season of life where things can just be overwhelming, you can feel unseen, everything's super repetitive. The simple creature of an ant shows us so many things. So as my husband would do, I went down a rabbit hole. And please note, he has curated my notes, but he didn't make any changes. But yeah, so I'm like, what can we learn from an ant? So I'm going to tell you 5 things, because it says, go to the ant, consider its ways, and be wise. So number one, an ant, well, we need to be self-motivated in the unseen. An ant doesn't need a supervisor. It simply does what it needs to do. And so much of motherhood is unsupervised, with no applause, no high fives, no keep going, no recognition. But God sees our faithfulness in the ordinary, and he honors our willing and faithful and diligent hearts. As Meg said, I don't get woken up by Jaira at 2 in the morning anymore. But funny story, I literally changed in my notes this morning. At 2 o'clock this morning, she did come to my bed. Just as a reminder, I'm coming to Mom's Group. You need to have fresh examples. So I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning with Jaira holding her dog, Mom. Her name's Evie. Evie does want to stop scratching and she has a rash and da, 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 and I'm like, 2 o'clock in the morning, I bathed a dog, guys. So I didn't clean up vomit and I didn't change a nappy, but I did bath a dog at 2 o'clock this morning. So I work full time, just so you know. I've never been a stay-at-home mom. I have worked from day naught. My kids are not small anymore. They are, in fact, 21, 19, and 16. But the same goes with just being self-motivated, right? I still got to do the things. It might not be cleaning up vomit, but it's making dentist appointments and reminding my kids that their car licenses have expired, and cleaning dogs at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I just want to encourage you that when you realize how loud God claps for you, you'll stop watching who doesn't clap for you. So just keep doing what you're doing. Keep showing up. Be self-motivated in the unseen. Number 2, an ant prepares in the good seasons. This is going to probably be the chunk of what I'm going to share today. But an ant gathers in summer, making provision for what lies ahead. So when you have moments of strength, be it emotionally, physically, or spiritually, I want to encourage you to use those moments of strength wisely. Fill your hearts with truth. Build life-giving rhythms and habits. Invest intentionally in your friendships and your kids and your marriage. And these deposits will carry you through the many more challenging days. Many of you know our stories through Stephen. I mean, 2020, my husband broke both his arms and his shoulder blade and his collarbone in one accident. And we had bucket list stuff like feeding him, changing him, bathing him, all those things. Go 3 years later, my daughter Gemma nearly died from a very rare diagnosed kidney disease, was in ICU for 21 days. And everything I shared the last time I was here on her journey. And then fast forward to this year, and we got stuck in the war in the Middle East. I remember sitting the one night in that war. Now, just so you know, I've never in my whole entire life been so scared as I was there. Not scared that God wouldn't come through or scared. I just, it was the unknown. Never been in a war. I've never seen missiles literally intercepted in front of you and parts of bombs falling down and sirens going off. And we were there in Ramadan, so it's the singing and the charming every 2 hours of them praying to their gods. And then it's the sirens and it's the boom of the bombs. And then it's like, it was so much noise. But I realized that I had pathways that I had carved over years, over the trauma I've been through, over the stuff that we've been through. There were pathways, and like an ant, they have pathways. You see them, they like follow this path of the little leaf on their head, and then they follow a path of the stick on their head, and they like where they're going, but they know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly where they're going. And so I want to encourage you to create healthy, life-giving rhythms and pathways in times of summer, where you have the strength to do it, because I'm telling you now, it carries you through what we have been through, what I've been through as a family. Stephen shared on the pool of Siloam, that was that river that was underground, that was built before the king Hezekiah came and attacked Israel. It was built and it was providing water before the war came, before the crisis hit. And so I just, you know, want to encourage you. I have pathways of prayer. For me, I pray often. I pray about everything and anything, from finding a parking spot to more serious things. And if I look through the journey with Gemma and her ICU journey and her disease, we used to pray over her blood. So they drew blood sometimes 6-7 times a day, sometimes 3 times an hour, just because of how critical she was. Eventually, they put a central line in. But before that central line, they would draw blood. And then they would go test the blood and obviously have to check all the levels. And every time they drew blood, we would stop the doctor or the nurse that was drawing the blood and we would ask to pray for the vials. So she'll tell you it's over 200 times that they drew blood. Over 200 times we stopped them and we asked to pray for the vials. So much so that when she was out of hospital and we had to go back every Friday morning at 5 a.m., we had to draw blood to test. Every Friday morning, we'd drive to Unitas, draw blood, and then take her to school. But we would pray for the blood, even after we had left hospital. It's 2 years later. She now only goes every 6 months. But the nurses all know we pray for the blood. So they draw the blood, and then they wait. And then we pray for the blood. And I just think those pathways are just, we pray about everything, and we ask God for everything. Pathways of reading scripture. For me, I love scripture. I love to hold on to something for my day. And I know Miranda touched on this last week. You don't need to go in times of summer, go read a full chapter and study it with help. And, you know, go down a rabbit hole with Google if you have to. And, you know, take a commentary and study the book of the Bible. But on days where I'm waking up at 3 o'clock to wash a dog, I'm happy to just let God speak to me, and I get a verse, and I carry that into my day. Honestly, when we were in the war, I just asked God for something for every day because I couldn't think further ahead than today. I had actually listed every day's scripture, and Stephen said it was too long. So anyway, I've learned to wait on him. I've seen him come through for me over and over again. I've tasted and seen his goodness. One of the days in the war, I really struggled to fall asleep. So just to explain, that the Iran would launch a missile and Qatar would know that it's been launched. And so they would give you a siren on anything connected to a network, your watch, your phone, the iPad, TVs, everything would lock. So if we were in a house with other people, everyone's phones, everyone's watches, everyone's iPad was like, bop, bop, bop. And then it's like a little yellow triangle in Arabic writing, which we now know says emergency alert, take cover, there's a threat, and then you wait. And then you just hear outside, boom, 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 bombs going off. Sometimes you're brave enough to go look, other times you're not. And it's in those moments where I was like, God, I couldn't sleep, because sometimes it would happen at 3 o'clock in the morning and then you're like wide awake for forever. But this was a scripture that I've read, where Psalm 4:5 says, "Now because of you, Lord, I will lie down in peace and sleep will come at once. For no matter what happens, I will live unafraid." And that was the scripture I got, and I held on to that. And the next day was something else about my kids, and the next day I couldn't sleep, and then I reminded God, "You said I will lie down in peace, that sleep will come at once. No matter what happens, I can live unafraid." So I just want to encourage you. God speaks. I mean, you've heard the testimony of how we got out of the desert. He speaks 2,000 years ago about some random Michael dude, and it's relevant today, and he'll speak to you. So prepare in good seasons and build those pathways. I've taught my kids to always ask God crazy, audacious prayers. Instead of asking, you know, that mean kid to be nice today, I'm like, how about we pray and ask that mean kid comes to you and says sorry about how he's behaving? You know, that's a crazy, audacious prayer for any snotkop, self-entitled kid to come up to you and go, "Listen, I'm sorry, ne?" But why can't we pray those audacious prayers? So, for me, another audacious prayer was Jem getting home for Christmas when she was in ICU. There was like no sign of her coming home, and she did eventually come home on dialysis, but she was home for Christmas. My audacious prayer in the war, I was really sick after 4 days. I think my body just took serious shots of like, this is not normal and this is not okay. So we decided to quickly dash out to a doctor's appointment, got to the doctor. As we left the doctor, those sirens go off. Now we're on a highway in a car and everything's like buzzing and we're like checking the skies and we need to find a place of safety. So we ducked into a shopping center, got into the mall. Stephen's standing literally under a glass dome, watching the missiles. "Yo, check that one. Yo, check that one." I was like, I'm done. I'm tapping out. I don't want to watch anymore. I'm going downstairs. And because every time the sirens go off, every time the missiles go off, it just means another day of no airspace being open, another day of not getting home. So I started crying. I'm like, I'm done. I'm going. And I said, just phone me when you're done being a boy. And I started going down the escalator, and Jaira, my middle child, my funky, old school, love her so much, daughter who loves things like the Beatles and all the old school, very old school. She dresses old school, she reads old school, and me and her have this very weird song that keeps coming up on her playlist called Octopus's Garden by the Beatles. I don't know if you've read it or listened to it or heard the words, but I'm telling you now, he was high when he wrote that song. John Lennon was not sober or whatever. But it's such a random song. Go listen, it'll be funny once you've heard this story. But while we were in the war, every time Octopus's Garden came up on her playlist, Jaira would send me a screenshot, "Mom, love you, thinking of you," and there was this Octopus's Garden. And it was really like, so that day in the war, in this mall, running down the stairs so hard from the missiles, she messaged me and she said, "Thinking of you, Mom." And in that moment, I'm like, my audacious prayer, my preparing in good seasons and God answering my prayers, I want to find an octopus to take home as a sign that I'm getting home, that I'll be home with my kids. But I don't want a baby toy, you know, pull the legs, grrr, you know. I want to, because she's 19, I can't bring a baby toy to her. I want a real ugly, orange, sif-looking octopus. So I start looking. And I'm going in and out of shops, and I'm like, because now when the sirens have gone off, when the missiles go off, then you have to wait till they give you another message that it's the all clear that you can leave. So we were probably going to be in that mall for 2-3 hours before we could leave. So we had nothing else to do but look for an octopus. So I'm walking around and I find crabs, I find fish, I find lobsters, I find seahorses. no octopuses. And then Stephen eventually finds me. He's like, what are you doing? So I'm like, I'm looking for an octopus. He's like, what? Why? So I'm like, this is my audacious prayer, asking God for a sign that I'm going to get home to my kids. He's like, okay, babe, you do you. And so he started helping me look. And we, like I said, in and out shops, in and out baby toy shops, Chinese mall shops, you name it. Eventually, I walked into like a Mickey Mouse Disney kind of, it had a whole bunch of Mickey Mouse ears and backpacks and pens and lunchboxes and you name it. And I walk up to this lady, I'm like, do you have an octopus? She's like, what? So I'm like, okay, my accent, an octopus, like those things with eight legs. So she's like, we used to, like, long ago, like, I don't know, I'm going to have to go look at the back. I'm like, please just go look. I'm like, did you seriously used to? I'm like, I don't want a baby toy. I want a real ugly octopus. She's like, okay, ma'am, no. So she disappears, and she comes back to me with, I can't make this stuff up, an octopus. She walks up to me with that octopus, the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my whole entire life. It was 900 rand. I said to Stephen, I don't care. We are buying this octopus. But the most amazing thing about this was my outrageous, audacious prayers, the pathways that I had already put in place in the summer. I phoned Jaira and I sent her this picture and I said, this is what I'm coming home with, baby. Remember our audacious prayers? This is what I asked God. This is what I'm bringing home. This was 10 days before we actually got out. Prepare in the good seasons. Ask God audacious things. Okay. Number three, the way of the ants. Choose consistency over perfection. An ant's strength is not in one big effort, but in a steady, repeated action. Motherhood isn't about getting it perfect. It's about showing up again and again and again with love, patience, and grace. The small, consistent acts that you offer daily are shaping the hearts and you're building a legacy in your home. Our children are PKs. Do you know what that is? Pastor's kids. They live in a fishbowl. They really do. People watch every move, everything they do, because they're a pastor's kids. But we have never made them do Bible studies. We have never insisted on praying. We have never insisted on those kind of rhythms. We have just modeled to them, and we've let our lives bump into theirs. And while we were away, this really showed, because all three of them really had to dig very deep into their own revelation of Jesus. We were supposed to be away for 5 days. We ended up being away for 21. And it was the first time we didn't have a Megan and a Roy watching them because they're older now. It was actually the first time we left them at home alone. But what I've done consistently with my kids is little things like praying on our way to school. It's not a rule. It wasn't like it was just something we did every morning. Two of my kids aren't in school anymore. Noah's in third year university and Jaira's first year university. But this year, as she was reversing out for the first day of varsity, we were all like, oh, boy, I love you, proud of you. And she stopped halfway. And I was like, what's wrong? She's like, so I'm like, what's wrong? And then I opened the door and I sat next to her and she's like, please will you pray with me for my first day of varsity? And it was so special. She's like, please pray that I'd make a friend, that I'd find a girlfriend. So she, like I said, my super old soul, she's pretty retro, only wears Converse. You know, she's not the typical girly girl. And I'm like, cool, let's pray an outrageous, audacious prayer. And we prayed. And that day, she literally had a random group of girls all wearing Converse sit down, right, Nick? Well, she's studying medicine. They were studying engineering. And she was sitting reading a book, as she does, on her own on the grass. And she looked up, and all these girls were in Converse. And they're like, hi. And she's like, hi. And they're like, are you reading so-and-so? And she's like, yes. And she just said, Mom, it was like, A, they knew the book. B, they knew the author. C, they were all wearing Converse. And they all just sat down and, yeah. So consistency over perfection, guys. If you pray 2 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day for anything, be it your husband, your kids, your marriage, your finances, that's 730 minutes or 12 hours in 1 year that you have prayed towards one thing. Consistency over perfection. You don't even need to pray 12 hours today. I'm asking you 2 minutes. 2 minutes. If you send a message to 3 friends once a week, just 3 friends, not 100 friends, you're sending them over 100 encouraging messages over 2 years. Consistency over perfection. Okay, number 4. You don't need to hear every voice. Just follow the right footsteps. Ants do not have ears. I didn't know that. Ants don't have ears. They feel vibrations through their feet. Yet they still thrive. They don't rely on constant instruction or noise. They move with instinct, purpose, and pattern. And in the same way, we are surrounded by so many voices, opinions, and pressures. It can be hectic to process it all, especially as a mum. But I want to tell you now, you do not need to listen to everything. You need to be sensitive to the right leading, the leading of the Holy Spirit, which Amarenda so graciously opened up last week. You do not need to listen. Be an ant. Proverbs 6 says, do as the ant does. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Tune your heart to the Holy Spirit's leading, even when your life is so, so loud. And I want to encourage you to watch the fruit of others. Mel mentioned this about the couple in Australia, I think, last week that had been involved in their kids' lives over many, many years. Find that one person whose parenting reflects what you desire for your own children, and follow in their footsteps. Not everybody's voices. Just find that one or two people and spend time with them. For me, Amarenda is actually one of those people, so I'm so honored to speak after her. Glean off the people whose kids you like how their kids are reading at 2 years old. Like, how did you do that? No, on eating habits, on boundaries, on discipline, on what they do with cell phones in their homes. Just be led by the Spirit and ask moms around you. It doesn't mean you have to meet with them every single week. It can be once a month. Like, flip, how did you get it right to do X, Y, Z with your kid? Or how did you get this right to not be mad at your husband all the time? He's not helping you. There's so many things. Look at someone. Those are my kids are now adults. I remember looking at Amarenda's boys, who she mentioned last week, when they were in their teens. Like, how did you do that? And asking her and just gleaning information from them. So follow the footsteps and be led by the Spirit. And then lastly, you are never meant to do this alone. An ant is so tiny, it's actually very insignificant on its own. How many do we squash a day? One can do very little, but in community, ants are unstoppable. The biggest colony, Stephen was so impressed with this fact, he actually went and double-checked me. Like, impossible, I might Google it. The biggest colony of ants was over 6,000 kilometers wide. Huh? That's like from Spain to France. I don't know. It was insane. Together, ants can cross rivers by linking together. Together, an ant can break down an entire tree. An ant. Because they eat it from the inside out. So even though they can carry their 50 times of their body weight, whatever, doing it together has far more as better results than doing it on your own. There's wisdom in working hard, but there's better wisdom in working together. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one. If either of them falls, one can help the other up. Isn't that just a beautiful invitation in motherhood? We often try to do it all on our own, make every decision, hold everything together. But the wisdom of the ant reminds us that strength is multiplied in community. You are never required to raise your children in isolation. They are loads too heavy to carry on your own, but they are light when they are shared, especially with people who have gone ahead of you, who have done the same thing ahead of you. There's wisdom, strength, and covering when you link arms with one another. And the beautiful thing is that you're here. So I'm actually speaking to the choir. You're showing up, you're leaning in, you're doing life with other moms, so well done. For me, community is everything. We've been in this church for 24 years, you know, in eldership for 19. And if I look at all the what people want to label as trauma, I'm the perpetual student. It seems I don't learn first time. Kind of like draw me bigger pictures, Lord, maybe neon signs will work. But I do feel like the perpetual students, but what an honor. What an honor it has been to journey my daughter through an incurable disease. What an honor it was to be in that war and to be part of a community, not only there, but here. As I mentioned, our kids were left with 5 meals for the 5 days, and we ended up leaving them for 21 days. But people showed up. Community showed up. Some nights they had 2 meals and were too embarrassed to tell people, we already got something. My son didn't mind, but... But I had people sleeping over because Noah's 21 and he had to work in Cape Town and I didn't really want the girls alone. And I, like, honestly, after the first week after getting stuck, I just didn't have the capacity to think all the things that actually had to be done. I had left a list, you know, Noah, you fetching Gemma that day, Jaira, you dropping Gemma off. So there was that for 5 days. But the days after that just escalated to another level because Gemma's involved in everything. She's that one kid who's like... drama, hockey, school, and they just managed. I got phone calls of like, where do we buy dog food, Mom? And what is expensive for dog food, Mom? But I what I want to say is like the community were there for my kids. People slept over when Noah had to go to work. I got phone calls from my kids saying, Mom, you've got such cool friends. And I just love that. I got phone calls from people telling us how our kids were doing so well. They were here serving. He had all the services that we missed, phoned us to give us, Mom, church was so amazing. They weren't lying in bed worrying and crying and stressing about their parents or not knowing when we were coming back. So what I want to say is what feels impossible alone becomes very possible together. So to summarize, 1, be self-motivated in the unseen. 2, prepare in the good seasons. 3, choose consistency over perfection. 4, you don't need to hear every voice. Just stay in tune with the Holy Spirit's footsteps. And 5, you are never meant to do this alone. If any of you want a tattoo, I think an ant is a really cute one. An ant on your ankle, or you know, a whole bunch of them crawling up your leg. Stuff of butterflies. God tells us to compare our lives to ants. Go to the ants, consider its way, and be wise. Bless you guys. I'd love to pray for you. And yeah, Lord, just thank you for the absolute privilege of being here today. Thank you that you can help us to embrace the wisdom of the ant, that you can teach us to be faithful in the unseen, intentional in every season, and consistent in love. When we feel weary, remind us that the small things do matter to you. Strengthen us for this calling. Fill our homes with your grace. Open our eyes to the seasons that you've put us in. Let us not despise the small things. Know that everything matters, and over time, we can stand and testify of your goodness over and over and over again. Bless each mom here today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Kath. Yeah, it's. I think it's. Yeah, we often say, Christine and I often have a chat, and we often say we're so privileged to be a part of this community because, as moms with older children now, like, we thought babies were hard, but when you've got your 9-year-old preteen, like, we glean from learning from older moms that have gone before us, and. Yeah, one thing I wanted to say, Kath, like, it's beautiful for someone that's not as organized. When we babysat, Kathy had their lunch boxes all packed in bags, and it said on there, add 1 apple from the fridge. And now even with 21-year-olds, you're still doing it, and I love it because it's really practical ways to help us. But yeah, Kath, thanks so much. I think we sometimes don't realize when we are in the good seasons. So even then, ladies, just be aware that sometimes you think it's a hard season. And that is actually your season to be jumping and spending that time. And really, I once read this book and the lady spoke about digging your well. And she's like, in the easy seasons, dig deep. Go down that rabbit hole, dig
hard and read lots of scripture and context. And then there's other seasons where you're literally just going to be sipping off the top of your well because you just don't have capacity or the season has changed. So, yeah, Kath, thanks so much for that encouragement it's so timely and so good and so needed. Yeah, Kathy says, please post your and tattoo photos on the group. Never mind a dove, you know, we'll do a dove and an ant. and just also wanted to say one thing I did forget, Mel sent her love. She's taking a bit of a break, but she really says she is deeply sad she's not here this morning and missing all of you and missing what you have to say, Kat. She sends lots of love. And then, guys, we'll see you again next week. Thank you.